Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out. Welcome to the Bliss Fest 2017. It's an incredible night. The sun is just setting out there. There's a few raindrops coming down, and bliss is in the air. And we are pleased today to have on the Stay Human podcast, Miss May Erlon. And we are super stoked to have you here because my favorite thing about going to a festival is I never check the list. I just walk around and I wander into tents and I find the most amazing artists. And today you were that person.
Aw, thank you.
So thank you for being here.
Cool. My pleasure.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just asking around before I, you know, because I got to check out the people who I get on this podcast. I don't want to bring in any objectionables. So I was asking around about you and they said, you know, May is like queen of Northern Michigan music. People speak so highly of you, and I wanted to know more about you. So tell me, where are you from exactly? Or where do you live, at least?
Right now I live in Traverse City, and I grew up in Big Rapids and Ann Arbor, both places a little bit. So I'm a Michigan girl.
Michigan girl.
Yeah.
Go Big Blue.
Yep, my dad went to U of M, and so did my sisters. But
my dad did too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my father's from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Where?
He's from Ewan, a tiny town called Ewan, which is known for their 1932 World's Fair load of logs. They sent 50 logs from Ewan, Michigan, pulled by a mule train, and that's what they're known for. Yeah, and my dad.
Nice.
So you grew up around these parts.
So
where you grew up exactly, was it a small town, big town? I mean, Ann Arbor is a big town, but were you living in a small
Big Rapids town? Was a small town, small college
That's
town.
Why they name it Big Rapids, right?
Well, it was a logging town.
Okay.
So the Big Rapids were a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's a big Muskegon River runs through it.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the Big Rapids came from, but it's not a big town.
Yeah. And when you were there growing up, what was it like at that time?
It was smaller than it is now. It was kind of like a budding college town then, and it's a little bit bigger now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty conservative, small town, like a lot of, like, just sort of rural mentality. But
how many people live there?
I'm not even sure.
Like,
I'm not a number
Like hundreds
person.
Or thousands or?
No, like thousands, yes.
Thousands,
many
so
thousands.
Maybe 20,000, so something like that. Yeah.
Not like the UP.
Not like the UP. not like Ewan and their load of logs.
Right, yeah. So, you know, bigger, small town.
But it feels like a small town, like you know a lot of the people that go to high school with you or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. And like, you know, very like small community, people all know each other. And yeah, so intimate in that way.
Yeah. Nice. And when you were growing up, what was your things that you were super into? What did you like to do? Or have you always been into music? Or
pretty much. I grew up in a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
I was home educated for most of my school years.
Wow.
So my parents were super encouraging of the arts. And they were like kind of the oddballs in the neighborhood. They were like the vegetarian Buddhist, you know, family in Big Rapids, Michigan, which, you know, I still had a lot of families and friends that accepted us despite those things. But but it was an interesting way town to grow up in. And so they were very encouraging of whatever creative thing I was into. And my grandma was an artist, visual artist.
Wow.
And so the arts were a big part of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're growing up and you're in this kind of conservative town, and in your household, it's like vegetarian, Buddhist, yoga, kombucha drinking, music playing. Yeah. And at what point did you decide, like, I'm going to pick up that guitar in the corner? What was your first instrument? How did you get into it? When you became first conscious of it?
I found it through voice first. Mm-hmm. I just sang from the moment I could talk. So that the vehicle is there.
Yeah.
And it still is the place where I feel like I can express the most. Mm-hmm. But I started playing piano early.
Mm-hmm.
How early? Probably like 8, because there was just one in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And I took some lessons, never got, like, you know, classically trained or anything.
Yeah.
Played a little violin. But at 11, I picked up the guitar and I wrote a song immediately.
Was that the first song you ever wrote?
Well, yeah, one, you know, that I wrote down. And, you know.
Well, did you have one before that you didn't write down?
I had a lot of little things I would make up, but I never took them very seriously.
So like something what? What was one that you wrote before you could even remember to write it down?
My first song that I remember writing when I was like probably like 4 was, it went, birdie can't fly, mama tell me why. Birdie can't fly, so mama tell me why.
Wow. That's beautiful. Wow. That's like an environmental anthem. You realize if you came out with that today, you'd inspire the whole movement? I mean, people would be shutting down pipelines. They would be breaking dams. And I mean, that's a beautiful song. Where did that come from? Did you have an experience where you saw a bird that couldn't fly? Or?
My parents were part of wildlife rescue,
mm-hmm.
where you take in animals and help, you know, rehabilitate them and then release them. So we had that around my whole childhood.
So
it was very literal.
Literal. It was happening. The bird can't fly.
What's going on?
Yeah. Because in my house, birdie can't fly meant my mom was serving fried chicken that night.
Right, yeah.
It was not the vegetarian, you know, Buddhist household that, you know, I now am. So then you're 11, you pick up guitar, and then how did that happen? What went on in your development musically?
I think it's stories and the voice that really excite me. So it was a vehicle immediately to tell stories. And there was a lot that I wanted to tell. So songs I just felt really comfortable with the songwriting idea in that sense. And so I realized, like, this is like, clicks.
Yeah.
This feels like something.
What were the stories that you were interested in telling at that time?
Well, you know, I was like a young teenager. Mm-hmm. So at first, a lot of them were just sort of like more, you know, you just sit down and play and whatever comes to you. Right?
Yeah.
And so they're a little more far out.
Yeah. Actually. Like what? Give us one.
I don't remember them.
No. They were really far out.
I
can't remember.
Yeah. No, I haven't played them in forever. But, and then, of course, I went through, like, the teen angst, like, heartbreak.
Yeah.
Like, I am the most important thing, and so is all of my pain. And, you know,
well, let's hear one of those. You've got to have one of those.
I one thing about me is I don't have a great memory, and the songs come in.
Okay.
There's, like, library shelf space, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody has to go.
Your hard drive is
they're documented. I mean, I have them, but I don't play them.
And what were they about, though? What were the types of
like
things?
Just like heartbreak or just longing or just being angry about whatever I thought was unfair.
What were you angry about at that time?
Probably just my parents not letting me do what I wanted, or just people treating me in a way that
Let me just get a grip on this. Your parents were like the hippie, Buddhist, vegetarian, musical, pot smoking, you know. I'm just conjecturing. But what in the hell could you have possibly wanted to do that they wouldn't let you do?
Well, right. It's like I had everything I wanted, so I wanted the hell out of there as fast as possible, you know? And so, I was totally gifted and privileged and had a great support system.
Yeah. But you wanted to find something more.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to feel what else was out there.
Yeah.
And it was pretty sheltered in that way.
Yeah.
And my own identity, I didn't have a lot of room. I was sort of a middle child. Didn't have a lot of room to figure out what my identity was.
Right.
As me. So I think everybody goes through a moment where they really want that.
Yeah.
And so I think that was my rebellion.
I hear you. Yeah.
But it wasn't because I didn't have what I needed in yeah. you know all of the basics.
So at what point did you get to spread your wings in that way? Did you finish high school and then break out, or did you...
I did not.
Run away from home school?
I did go to school some of the time, but I at 16, I negotiated to go traveling across the country.
Wow.
So I played music and traveled all over the country and hitchhiked and train hopped and went all wow. over for like 3 years.
You train? Mm-hmm. What do you call it? Train?
Train hopping.
Train hop. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you said train app. Like there was a new app that you'd like
well,
go
that's,
on the
that's today.
Oh, train's coming at 6:30. I'm going...
Yeah. It actually would be so much easier, I'd imagine, now with yeah. all the apps that you have.
Yeah,
like people
know.
Are using like paper train guides that they rob from wow. like the engineers. You know?
Like, was that you? Is that your gag to go and pickpocket the engineers?
Oh no, they put them out. Like it was okay. like an underground. Like who's got the? Oh, I forget what they were called, but yeah, they're like a guide of like where wow. you could go to hop on.
So
trains.
Tell me about that. What was the first time you hopped a train? I mean, this is like what a real musician does, you know, like, I was a train hopping, I went to San Antonio, you know, like, this is like the stuff of musical lore, you know, like, tell us about the first time you hopped a train. What was that like?
The first time was actually just in Ann Arbor,
yeah.
and I had a friend, and we were just up late hanging out, and he's like, oh, there's a train, and he had done it many times,
yeah.
he's like, let's get on it.
Yeah,
I was like, where does it go? He goes, doesn't go that far. Like, let's just get on it and get off. Like, and I was like, I've never done it. And he just gave me some really quick basics.
Yeah.
And then,
what are the basics of train hop? Just so that we can tell other 16-year-olds out there.
Well, it's very dangerous. Put that out off the bat. But you have to be able to count the bolts on the wheel before you even consider jumping on.
Okay. So that means indicating that it's slowed down enough
yeah.
to go. Okay.
And I don't know if they're really even called wheels, but
yeah.
the, you know,
sure.
you've got to be able to count the bolts and then you got to run and you got to be okay. able to run at the speed because otherwise you're going to like be
yeah.
caught.
So and now you're running on the ties. Is it like you're running that close to, or the ties under the, I guess they're under the.
They're under the train, so you're running, train. On
okay.
gravel,
you're running on
it's
gravel.
Horrible and dangerous.
Yeah, horrible and dangerous. And if you, and if you fall, you're going to slide down like a 10-foot ravine into,
right.
into
so
a
ideally,
creek full of snakes.
So ideally, you want it to be
right?
really slow.
Yeah.
And for me, I would just like, can't we just wait till it stops?
Yeah. You're running, and, jump on, come on, jump on.
And it's easier to do that. A lot of times you can wait till it stops and get on successfully, but getting off, you
yeah.
often have to get off when it's going.
Oh, wow.
And so that you have to run in the air.
Because. Can you demonstrate that on a podcast? I mean, running in there.
I'm 35 now.
I thought you were a folk singer. Turns out you're a superwoman.
No. So, I mean, I train hop for a little while, but because it was so hard and dangerous, I didn't,
yeah.
you know, hitchhiking is way safer.
Where did you
easier.
Go? What's, like, how far of the journeys would you take?
I train hopped, let's see. I went across, like, from... Chicago's a scary city to
yeah.
hop out of.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But I did.
You get hit by an L train.
Right. Yeah. And went over to, like, the Northwest, and yeah. up and down the Northwest is
wow.
pretty much the only train.
That must have been beautiful
in
the backcountry there. And
you yeah. feel like you're, like, in on a big secret.
Cause yeah.
you see all this landscape. There, cars aren't allowed to go there.
Yeah.
And people even don't go to a lot of the spaces.
Wow.
So you're just, like, kind of this... little like magic, you're not supposed to be there, you know.
Natural and, Area 51, you know?
Right, right? And you know, it's so totally like you can get caught and you have to kind of hide, so there's this
yeah.
sneaky like ninja aspect about it that's pretty
wow.
fun as a teenager, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and so all this time, were you playing, writing? Did you have an instrument with you?
Yeah, I always played, and that's how I made money on the road. I
mm-hmm.
busked, and
yeah,
it's still one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's really beautiful
yeah.
art, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I play it all the time.
Yeah.
On the road.
And what kind of songs would you be writing?
I wrote about traveling. I played a lot of cover songs.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of country swing
yeah.
songs. You know,
nice.
I would see somebody and think, oh, what could I play that would, like, lift their spirit in this moment? I've only got, you know, half a minute.
Yeah.
Of their time.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So.
To connect as you're busking, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife Sarah and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do it for the love, y'all.
And then I play some of my songs that were just sort of like heart opening, just like, you know, my stuff that I felt like singing at the time.
Wow, wow. What's your musical mission? Like, what's your purpose as a musician? Why do you do it?
It's probably changed over the years, but I think the main thing is to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where I'm most useful is often trying to encourage and help people be in a heart space instead of a head space.
Yeah.
And I found that that's the sort of most useful place that I can talk about different, you know, things going on in the world that are maybe challenging for people to hear. Like, once you get into a heart space, then we're all sort of in a safe space and we can talk about things. And that's just like when you're trying to communicate with somebody about something hard, that's the mission. So I found that music has really offered that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just helping people feel and also feel things that we're scared to say.
Mm.
And just the vulnerability aspect that we're all existing in all the time.
Yeah.
So my mission, I guess, is to really speak to that vulnerability and to make use of that space.
Nice.
And to have a voice in it.
Yeah. I think that's more important now than ever with everything that's happening in our country right now. There's so much division, you know, socially, politically, environmentally, over sexuality, over religion, so many things. And it's really important for all of us to speak our most passionately about our beliefs and the direction that we want to see the world going. But I think even more important than that right now is all of us having that ability to listen. And to have an open mind and open heart to people who come from a different experience, a different walk of life. And I'm with you. Like, I really believe that music helps us to access that, you know. Just like a festival here today, you know. This is a pretty, you know, community-oriented festival. People who come here are generally open-minded and open-hearted people. But not everyone here is the same ilk politically. And to be able to be in a space where people come together with different experiences and different values and to be able to share it musically, this idea of coming together and living together, I think is it's a gift that you're, you know, being a part of. So that's awesome. How about a tune?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you guys think of some questions and we'll play a tune. Yeah. You want to tell us about it first?
Sure. This song sort of came about listening to the radio and protest songs are not popular songs often. Yeah. I mean, sometimes they can be. But I was just thinking about how it's kind of a thankless job, but it is like sort of the legacy of a folk singer to write them in whatever way we see fit, but, you know, or whatever way we're called to. So this song was sort of a response to thinking about what would happen if we stopped writing them.
Okay.
Just because they weren't necessarily always received by everyone. Yeah. And as someone who loves everybody and wants to please them, it's hard for me to, like, to displease somebody or make someone feel alienated. Because, like you said, that's not really the mission either.
Yeah.
So this song kind of came out of how important it is to keep using that voice. But also the idea that we all have to show up in the way that we know how.
Mm.
And it's going to look really different for everybody.
Right on.
So it's called the People Song.
Awesome.
Succeeding. day and age. You know, time is money, so you'd better hurry along. And there's no time to learn the people's song. He said the view from up here, sure has changed. I guess the man came to the mountain and then hauled it away. There was no one to stop them, to say it wasn't wrong. There was nobody singing the people's song. At a time, find the work in our future, not just a steady decline, and use what's left of our voices, steady and strong. We are weary, not weak. We are righteous, not wrong.
Yeah,
Michael.
Really beautiful. Thank you. You guys have any questions? All right. That was quick.
I was thinking about this.
Tell us your name first.
My name's Lauren.
All right.
So your song, Shine On, you played that earlier today at your set. Mm-hmm. I know we've all been singing it since we were little. But I wanted to know what made you write that song? What were you going through in your life when you wrote it? And was it about someone specific? Was it words of encouragement?
Thank you for asking. It was about something specific, and I hesitate to tell it because it has grown into a song that feels like it doesn't belong to me. Never really did, but it was inspired by the election results of 2004, and I felt totally duped and discouraged, and I felt like we had been working and momentum was gaining, and the re-election of Bush Jr. was just really disheartening, which has actually brought more meaning in singing it again now. Mm. So I was just devastated, and I just felt like, what are we working for then? Mm-hmm. If this is the reality. And we all have moments, I think, like that when we work hard on something we care about, and then we hit a wall, and it's like, should I even keep trying? And I went to a local pub that I'd never been to after playing that morning for this arts council of people who were celebrating the victory. So it was a really intense show and an intense day, and I was just totally rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my friend who was this like local community organizer, amazing genius visionary guy who'd opened this pub, and it wasn't about, he was making this great beer, and this is Joe Short that I'm talking about, but it wasn't about his beer. He was like, I just want a place for the community to come together and talk about ideas and make things happen starting here, and it's going to grow. And he has grown that, but talking to him that day made me realize, okay, this dude's still excited. Like, yeah. And he's so excited.
He's still in the game, no matter what happened.
You know, he put the inspiration in my heart that day, and I went home that night, and I was like, all right, I got to keep going, and I got to put something out there that's going to be useful to help others who might feel the same way, whether it's about the election or whether it's about something else completely, like, unsurmountable seeming, you know?
Yeah. So, can you just sing the chorus of that so people at home know what we're talking about?
Yeah. Shine on, shine on. There'll be time enough for darkness when everything's gone. Shine on, shine on. There is work to be done in the dark before dawn.
Beautiful. I heard you play that today, and that is a really, really beautiful song. And it's amazing how many people, you know, I was just out there and way in the back outside of the tent, and people had their arms around each other and were singing that song. And I'm just wondering how, you know, you kind of described being here in this part of Michigan. How has that informed what you do, being a Michigan girl?
Well, the music community here is really rich, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of elders who've been doing it for a long time. So the musical mm-hmm. community, the folk music community especially, mm-hmm. Definitely has helped me to find a place,
yeah.
And also has taught people how to appreciate music, which has basically been my livelihood, you mm-hmm. know, that appreciation that people have worked really hard to create over the years, because yeah. you do have to kind of teach people how to appreciate yeah. music, you yeah. know. And so I feel really lucky that I've kind of been brought up in that legacy yeah. of these folk festivals. So, and then the collaborations, I'm constantly inspired by my peers and,
yeah.
and we all support each other. It's not competitive, it's
yeah.
collaborative.
Yeah.
So that's really, I feel really grateful for that. But also there's a lot of like polarized views here.
Mm-hmm.
And even living in Northern Michigan, going through this last election, I realized even more how mm-hmm. polarized things were, more than I thought. And
yeah.
And so I feel like there's a lot of work to do also, mm-hmm. and that using music to bring people out together into a room, looking each other in the eye and mm-hmm. and feeling each other, and then talking about some of these things feels really useful. Mm-hmm. So I think it feels like there's a lot of work and that it's effective work
mm-hmm.
To do. And so I think, I don't know if that totally answers your question, mm-hmm. but those are some things about being here that I feel like are unique
yeah.
or inspiring.
Thank you. You got any other questions?
Where can we find more of your music?
You can find more music of mine, but also of the collective that I'm part of. And it's called earthworkmusic.com. And there's so many amazing songwriters and artists that are all under that umbrella. And we all focus our music, definitely community-oriented, but also environmental and social justice and just really trying to use music as part of the community and as a voice. So mm-hmm. it's kind of our mission
nice.
Together. And we do a lot of work with kids and schools. And so, yeah, it's a great spot to find a lot of great music if you haven't heard
awesome.
Of it.
Awesome. Well, our podcast is called the Stay Human Podcast. And so I'd like to ask you, in this world that is so, you know, increasingly about, you know, identifying people by a number or by a blue state or a red state or whatever. How do you hold on to just being human? What are the things that keep you in your humanity?
Wow. That's a beautiful question. I think the natural world,
mm-hmm.
being out in nature and taking those moments and being in that relationship helps to realign me with my natural self
mm-hmm.
and kind of takes away some of the blankets of whatever judgments and ideas that we have.
Yeah.
So there's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think listening is a really big piece of how to get back to
mm-hmm.
to what's real.
Yeah.
And something I'm learning about, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you very, very much for being on the Stay Human podcast.
Thanks
today. It's
me.
Really an honor to meet you and get to know about your weird family you grew up in.
Yeah.
My family was 10 times weirder, so okay. there's no shame in your game, believe me. And thank you, studio audience, for being here. And people, are you on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff? You
yep.
know that? Twitter and all that things?
Yeah, I'm not so great at Twitter, but I'm there.
Okay.
But yeah, May Early Wine, you can find
Can you spell
me.
It for folks?
Yeah, M-A-Y, and my last name is E-R-L-E-W-I-N-E.
Right on. Awesome. Well, thank you for being here today on
Thanks
the Stay Human
me.
Podcast from BlissFest 2017. We love y'all!
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. And I've traveled all throughout the world and I've been to many inspiring places. And one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007. And at that time, I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram at Soulshine Bali.